Hey, well, it is so good to be here tonight. I was actually a little bit disappointed. Thank you, Anthony. Can we give it up for Anthony? Thank you. Thank you, Brother Anthony. I was a little disappointed I didn't get asked to be in the dance. I got to just, you know, be honest with you. I consider myself a pretty good dancer. In fact, I was sharing at the conference, the fact that when I first got saved and was getting into leadership and getting involved, I was aerobic instructing at the time, and I remember that there was a camp going on that weekend, a youth camp, and the youth pastor actually rung me up and said, Natalie, would you mind worship leading on the Saturday morning? Because you aerobic instruct and it's kind of the same thing. And so, I just thought even tonight I think I could have contributed then. I don't think that's bad to ask. Should we do it again? No, just Hey, well, I hope you are clicked in, ready to go. I just want to say, honestly, a thank you to everyone here, and especially your pastors of this church, for the invitation to come. I have just had the best time. It is so good being back in the Promised Land and, just getting refreshed. But it has been honestly so good, and so good to meet so many of you. And if I haven't met you already, please, I would love to meet you afterwards. I love people. So, you know, I'm not going to get bored if you come up and go, oh, would they go away? I'm going to love it to meet you. So tonight, I know we've only got a few moments, so we're going to get straight into it. I actually bought you all a present. I knew that would excite you. Bought you all a present. Thanks. Now, it's a little bit small, and you might not completely be able to see it, but here's your present. Do you normally act like that when someone gives you a present? Is your present? Oh, no. It didn't cost me too much. No, it did actually cost me a fair amount of money, and I'll leave it down. It's actually a seed. Yeah, and you might go, wow, thanks, Nat. Yo, it's not any old seed, all right? It's a mustard seed. Thank you very much. It's a mustard seed. So I bought you a mustard seed. The reason I bought you a mustard seed is just because I love you. Yeah? Just want to say I love you. Here's a mustard seed, like you do. I bought you a mustard seed because God has been speaking to me about recently is the whole analogy of a seed. The whole, taking me through the Bible and showing me so many things about seeds and how seeds replicate to our lives. See, I've been looking at a few verses in the Bible, and we'll flick over to them now if you have your Bible. Who has their Bibles in the house of the Lord? Fantastic. Should always bring your Bibles. This is a living word. It's living and active. Be careful with your Bibles. They can do damage. They can bring life. They can do anything. They're alive. Matthew chapter 13. That's where we're going. Matthew chapter 13. As quick as you can, you've got to get to Matthew chapter 13. One, you got there, say, got it. Oh, you so did not. That was too quick. Did you really? You are holy. My goodness. Okay, for all the heathens out there, are you there yet? No, just joking. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 says this about seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants. Or if you're in Australia, you have to say plants. And becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. Or if you're in Australia, you would say branches. Just relating. Matthew 13. Why don't you flick over to Matthew 17? Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 says this about seeds. He replied, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Who would like for nothing to be impossible for you? I'd like for nothing to be impossible for me. It tells me I've just got to have faith as small as a mustard seed, which is the present I bought you, by the way. Thanks for saying thanks. Honestly, it's nothing. Okay, if you just turn over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, as quick as you can. It talks to us up there again about seed, the parable of the seed being sown out. It says in verse 14, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. Verse 16, others like seed sown on rocky places. Verse 18, still others like seed sown among thorns. Verse 20, others like seed sown on good soil. Can you see how so many times through the Bible it talks about, it uses the analogy of a seed to speak about your life and mine. It uses seed to talk about our faith. It uses seed to talk about our lives. It uses seed to talk about our relationships. It uses seed again and again and again. And what God has been showing me is if we can get a concept, if we can get a grasp, if I can capture the truth about a seed in the natural, actually brings revelation to me of what God wants to, the understanding God wants to bring to me in the supernatural. Does that make sense? See, the first thing I understand about a seed is that a seed has incredible potential. Unbelievable possibility. An amazing future. A seed has an amazing future. Amazing purpose. What's its purpose? To grow, to increase, to be fruitful, and to multiply. Heard that before. That's what the seed is. That's what it has. Incredible purpose. You and I have incredible potential. You and I have amazing purpose. You and I have unbelievable futures. What is our purpose? To grow, to increase, to be fruitful, and to multiply. So the second thing about the seed, it does not have to do anything to have all of that sitting inside of it. The seed didn't have to do anything to have that possibility sitting inside it. Didn't have to do anything to have that future sitting inside of it. Didn't have to do anything to have that possibility sitting inside of it. Just that to be a seed. Do you know, you and I don't have to do anything to have the possibility sitting inside of us that's sitting inside of us at right now. We didn't have to do anything bar be born. We really didn't have a choice in that part. I didn't, anyway. Didn't have to do anything, but we've got that possibility sitting inside of us. We've got that opportunity. We've got that purpose. We've got that future sitting inside of us. Psalm 139, I shared on it the other day at the conference. It says, for you created, talking about God, for you created my inmost being. The fact that that possibility and that purpose and that future sits inside of us. Here's the thing. Third thing that God showed me about a seed. It's got unbelievable possibility. Got unbelievable opportunity sitting inside of it. Didn't have to do anything to have that, just needed to be a seed. But the third thing is on its own, it can achieve none of that. Right? I mean, I could leave this seed here today, go back to Melbourne, come back here next year, and who knows, we'd still just have a seed. Who would be amazed if we had a tree right there? Most of us. If we did nothing, it's just going to sit there, right? On our own, on its own, it's just going to be a seed. We could go away for hundreds, thousands, zillion, million years and come back, still a seed. See, because on its own, that seed can achieve none of its possibility, can achieve none of its purpose. Do you know what the Bible tells me in John 15, verse 5? That apart from Him, I can do nothing. Apart from God, I can do nothing. On my own, in my own strength. Oh, I've got so much sitting inside of me, but on my own, can't do a thing. Cannot do a thing. Anyone felt like you've walked through life sometimes feeling like you can't do anything? Feeling like you tried to be a cool seed, but you're just a seed. Oh, trying to be a tree. I'm a tree, but you're just a seed. You try and do it all and be, you know, cool, and you get your gangster walk going down so people think you're really cool, but you're just a seed. Anyone felt like that, or is that just me? Okay, a few people. Three people. Amen. Okay. So the understanding we all know about a seed, the fourth thing God showed me about a seed, is you've got to do something with it to see something from it. Bam, that's deep, isn't it? Sunday night is so deep. Oh my gosh. You've got to do something with it to see something from it. Now I'm going to pull out from my memories what you need to do to make a seed grow. Anyone at school, at primary school, do that little experiment when you're like about 2 days old or something, you know, and you get given a seed, and what's your teacher tell you to do? Now, Natalie. I was never so good at listening at school. I tried my hardest, I have to admit. Okay, yes. What you need to do is you need to go home. You're going to do something to the seed. What are you going to do, Natalie? don't know, miss. What did the teacher used to tell you you need to do to make the seed grow? You've got to plant it. You've got to put it in the earth, right? It's got to be planted. It's got to be put in the earth. But who understands that if you just went home, and I don't know if you had any friends at school. I had one called Danny. He went home and he just put it in earth. And then when he brought it back to show the teacher the next week, he had no idea why it hadn't grown or done anything. What did the first question the teacher ask him? Did you also water it? Oh, no, miss. Why don't we try and go home and water it too? See, we understand if you want to see something come out of that seed, you've got to do something with it. And we understand to see that growth and that potential come out, we've got to, first of all, put it in the earth, put it in a ground, and we've got to water it. What is the earth? It's the environment of growth. What is the water? It's the catalyst or the instigator of that growth. To put it just in the earth, to just plant it and not water it, means we're not going to see any change. Is it possible for you and I to be planted in an environment of growth and still not grow? Absolutely. We can go across churches and churches and churches, not this one obviously, we can go across many other churches and find people sitting in an environment of growth, but they're not growing. Why? They're planted, they're in the house of God, they're in that environment of growth, but they haven't got the water. What's the water? The fresh anointing of God. The fresh touch of God. They put the seed in the earth, but they're just not allowing that revelation to come. They're just not allowing the fresh touch from heaven. Week in, week out, they sit there, they're in that environment, but they're not growing. See, I remember when I did do the school experiment and I put the seed in my little pot that my mum gave me. And I began to water, and what I found is when I put the seed in the earth and I began to water it, it initiated the environment of growth seeping into the seed. It initiated that the environment where it could grow getting into the seed, and the result was I started to see evidence of things not yet seen. Started to see little shoots coming up. Started to see the evidence. Now, Hebrews 11 tells me faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. See, when we begin to plant ourselves in an environment of growth, or goth, but that really won't make sense. If you plant yourself in the environment of growth and begin to allow the living water to wash over you, begin to allow Him and the fresh touch of heaven to come on your life, what you start to find is the evidence of things not yet seen. Oh, I feel called to do this. I don't see it right now, but you know what? I feel starting to see the evidence of things not yet seen. I remember when God started to do work in my life, I became a Christian, and I shared it this morning. When I got saved, you've got to understand, it was hilarious because I had been in church for 4 weeks at that point. And I don't know if you did this, probably not, but I did this. When I came into church those 4 weeks, I watched because I wanted to make sure if there was ever anything I did that I was doing it right. You ever done that? So you just kind of watch. Oh, okay, that's how you spell. Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, we're supposed to jump now. Oh, we clap now. Oh, okay. And I remember 4 weeks later when I actually went up the front to ask Jesus into my life, and I was standing up the front, and you got to understand, I had been watching for 4 weeks what people did when they did go up the front. And I'd watch that they would stand there, and you know, and when the pastor came along, if he ever at all did pray for them and put his hand, lay his hand on them, if they fell over, what I noticed was that they seemed to fall over and just lie still and not move. And I thought, oh, that's important. Jot that one down. If I ever go down, don't move. And I watched them, and I saw on average, most of them went down for about between 3 and 5 minutes. That's important. Note down, if you ever go down, don't move 3 to 5 minutes. So I'm getting saved this night. I come down to the front. I'm standing there, and the pastor leads us through the prayer. And then he starts going along and praying for people. I'm sure you've never done this. Maybe you have once or twice. But if you ever stood there when people are being prayed for and you know the pastor's coming along praying for people, you take a little sneak, see what everyone else is doing. Oh, if they're going down, I've got to go down. Yeah, whatever it may be. As I said, I know you don't. I've done it once or twice. So I happen to take a little sneak. Look how everyone's bam, 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 all falling backwards. I'm like, oh, pressure. And it comes up. He starts to pray for me and I go down. Except not backwards. Go down forwards. And the thing is, the cat just is standing behind me, not in front of me. And as I go down forwards, we've got at the front of the church that I pastored in, which is City New Life Church, steps that graduate up kind of like this. So as I go down forwards, I crack my knee against one of the steps at the front. But I'm a proper Christian now, and the proper Christians, because I've noted it down, don't move if you go down and don't move for 3 to 5 minutes. So I lie on the day that I get saved, on the floor, in absolute agony, for 3 to 5 minutes. But stand up afterwards, yeah, proper Christian, thank you very much, see you later, here we go. So that was my powerful conversion experience. The reason I tell you that, I can't even remember. What was I talking about? Seed. No, I can't remember. Oh, yes, I can. There we go. Thank you. Okay, so that was the day I got saved. What I then found is that God would begin to, as I came into church each week and press in, not just to hear words. Who doesn't want to hear just another message? I've got to the point, I don't want to hear another message. I want to hear revelation from that message. And what I would do is I would come and sit in church and I would be planted in that environment of growth. But I was so hungry for more of God, so hungry and thirsty for what He had for my life. As I would press in, if they were singing songs, I wouldn't just be singing the words, I would be singing the words. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't just be pressing, I'd be pressing in. I would be in there because I was so hungry. What I found is I found that they've started to initiate growth in my life. Oh, there was things that I had, dreams that I had that God had put in me, things that I felt called to do. And do you know what? Step by step, I began to see evidence of things not yet seen. Oh my goodness, I started to see growth coming in my life. I started to see that seed of potential become a tree. And inside of every one of us sitting here tonight, there are potentials, dreams, things that God has placed inside of you, dreams that you know are from heaven. Can I tell you, He doesn't just want them to stay inside of us. He doesn't want us just to say beautiful seeds. He wants us to become mighty trees, mighty men and women of God. And that means we've got to be planted. But that means more than that, we've got to press in. God, I need your fresh oil. I need your fresh touch. God, I need your fresh revelation for my life. See, what's the water over our lives? Fresh anointing from heaven. Psalm 42 verse 1 says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? See, the things about the fresh touch of God, the things about His anointing is that it brings freedom. It brings peace. It brings wholeness. It brings healing. It brings breakthrough. It brings provision. It brings blessing. It brings new perspective. It brings change. It brings comfort. It brings this. It brings that. It brings basically everything that we could ever possibly need. I don't know about you, but my declaration is, where can I go for that living water? God, I am desperate for that living water. See, I want to see growth in my life. Does anyone want to see growth in your life? Yeah, not in the physical. Please, no. Okay, I want to see it in the supernatural. You got to be specific with God, otherwise He gets a bit messed up. So, yeah, I want to see growth in my life. I want to see breakthrough in my life. I want to be able to say to the mountains in my life, move from there to there. In fact, when I first got saved, I don't know, I feel like I should just tell you these things. I'm like confessing my sins now. When I first got saved, I remember reading that verse. You can say to this mountain, move, and it move. And you got to understand, you know when you're a new Christian, you like haven't learned to doubt yet? That kind of comes along. You know, you're just like, oh, yes, if you say it, God, it shall be so. I remember going to Kashmir Hills, which is a range of hills in Christchurch. I'm standing before these hills and going, well, let's try it out. Move. Move, mighty hill. Yeah. I remember standing there for about, it didn't take long for me to get discouraged. So I probably only stood there a minute, but I was like, move, mighty mountain. Yeah. But the thing is, my Bible tells me that the mountains in my life, I can command them to move. How can I command them to move? By taking only a mustard seed amount of faith, which you couldn't even see, putting it in an environment of growth and adding water, adding the living water from heaven. And what can we find that mustard seed can grow, as we all probably know now, to one of the biggest trees that you're ever going to find. See, God wants us to come to that place as well. And 2 Chronicles 16:9 tells us that his eyes are roaming to and fro. Just see one person. Can I find one person who's saying, God, I want you more than I want anything else? Can I just see one person? One person. See, what we find about the seed, the other thing God showed me, is all the potential it has. Once we put it in the ground and we add the environment of growth and we add the water for that growth to take place, all of that can happen. But the change that takes place from the inside out. Right? We don't see a seed and see all its potential on the outside. We see the seed and understand all its potential is on the inside. And what we do by putting it in the ground is what we're trying to do is see that potential come from the inside out. So it's not how clever the seed is or how well dressed the seed is or the fact that the seed's got labeled t-shirts or labeled jeans on. No, it's just the fact that there's potential sitting inside of it and it was put in the right place, added with the right ingredient, that the change came. I don't know about you, but I know sometimes I've had people come and talk to me and say, you know, Nat, I just don't feel like I'm clever enough to be used by God, or I don't think I've got it all together to be used by God. I'm not as gifted as that person is and as clever as that person is, or I'm not definitely not as funny as that person is, or as gorgeous as that person is, or I'm not this and I'm not that. And we have we ever said these things to God? We tend to come with excuses about how the outside doesn't look like it could do what you've spoken to the inside. When the change in our lives actually comes from the inside out. See, I came upon this revelation. You can take anyone in the world today. I may be looking at someone else going, you know what? Wish I had it all together like they do. I guarantee you $1 million that that person is looking at another person going, so I had it all together like they had it all together. I guarantee you, that person is looking at that person. Wish I had it all together like they had it all together. That person is looking at that. Everyone's looking at everyone. But you know who God wants us to look at? Him. Just say, God, I need your living water. Bring what's in me out. Bring that change in me out. Here's the final thing God showed me about a seed. Is there are things that want to stop that seed from becoming a tree. There are things that want to come in and choke the seed, kill the seed. There's weeds that can try and take a seed out. There is poison that can try and take a seed out. A seed can get trampled on by the things of the world and it can be taken out. So many things that try and can't become obstacles for the seed becoming the tree. How true is it in our lives that there's so many things trying to take us out? The enemy, history over, has tried to abort the seed in this world. Try and abort that which has possibility. Try and abort that which has potential. Trying to bring things into our lives that would choke us up and take us out. What some of the things he's used in the past? Lies, fear, shame, guilt, insecurities. I know you've never struggled with these. This is just my testimony. Doubt, anxiety, sickness, anger, problems, situations, circumstances, what she said, what she didn't say, what you think she thought she said, what you think she thought, her friend thought she think she said, you said. So many things. So many things he tries to use to take us out. In fact, I remember watching a film it was a film with Richard Gere, and the reason I watched it is because my mum just loves Richard Gere. Don't ask me why, I have no idea. And in this film, he plays this soldier who's trying to become a soldier. I don't know. He's in training. I can't remember what the name of the film's called. But he is trying to get to, you know, a specific rank. And so he has to go through a certain amount of training. Except he kind of isn't quite cutting it. And one weekend, the sergeant major guy, obviously, I'm not really down with the terminology in the army. But this guy says, okay, you and I, we're staying back this weekend and I'm going to put you through your paces. So Richard Gere's like, okay. And he keeps him back that weekend. And what he starts to do, this general or major, whatever he is, starts to take Richard Gere through all these different unbelievably tough exercises. He gets him, doing these press-ups, like 100 zillion press-ups, while he's spurting all this water at him to try and get him off balance. He then gets him running for endless hours around this track. The whole time, the sergeant major guy's in on his ear, "Would you just quit? Would you just give up? Come on, you're not cut out to be in the army. Come on, you're not going to make it. Would you just give up?" Richard Gere's like, "No, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit." The next day, later on that day, he comes and starts putting him through some other stuff. He's making him do these sit-ups where he's got to just hold his legs out. Have you ever done those ones? Your abs are just burning. And he's going through absolute hell, finding it the toughest thing. The whole time, the sergeant major's in on his ear. "Would you quit? Would you just quit? Would you just give up? Come on, you and I know you're not cut out for this." It gets to the Sunday afternoon. He's gone through a whole weekend of grueling, tortuous type exercises, and he's tired at this point. Have you ever found yourself in a place where you're just tired and a bit beaten down by the things of the world, by the things the enemy has come against you with? He gets to this place and he's going through another tough exercise where he's just got to hold out his rifle out in front of him with both arms. He's just got to hold it there. Have you ever done that and your shoulders start to ache and you start to shake and all of this is going on? And it begins to go through Richard Gere's mind, maybe this is too tough. Maybe I should just quit. Maybe I'm not cut out for it. Maybe it's been going, I don't know. It's just so hard. And the whole time the guy's in on his ears, just quit, just quit, just quit. And then something rises up in Richard Gere, in the character that he's playing. And while this guy is in on his ear going, "Why don't you quit?" While he's going through the pain and just feeling tired and worn down, something rises up in his inside of him and just screams out in the face of this sergeant major, "I'm not going to quit." I got to tell you, I get into movies. I'm sitting there going, "Go, you good thing." The sergeant major looks at him, sees that he means what he's saying, goes, "Okay, go back to barracks." And off he walks. See, I remember watching that film and going, my goodness, is that not a picture of our lives? Is that not how it happens? We feel called to do this. We feel God has told us to do it. We step out in that thing and we're going along there, but the enemy comes along, putting us through tough situation after tough situation, and he's in on our ears the whole time, isn't he? Why don't you just quit? Oh, it's too hard. Oh, you're not cut out. Oh, you're not gorgeous enough. Oh, you're not clever enough. Oh, you're not whatever. Oh, we may start strong, but we've all got to admit there's days we get to where we're just like, oh, maybe I should quit. Maybe I heard God wrong. Maybe I thought that was God. Have you ever questioned that? Was that God? Was that me? Do you know what the living water in our lives causes us to do? Get to that place where we don't know how or why, and it's still painful and it's still tough, but something inside of us screams, "I will not quit." I know, if I gave my test, I can tell you, I know what it is to find yourself. I've found myself in that place where the enemy has launched every arrow. It seems like he's taken a loan out on extra arrows just so he can shoot them at me. And I'm feeling battered and I'm feeling bruised and I'm feeling a bit worn down and I'm questioning, maybe I didn't hear from God. Maybe I shouldn't have stepped out of the boat. The others seemed to stay in the boat. Maybe they knew what they were doing. I started to doubt, maybe what he's saying is true. Maybe what he's telling me is right. Maybe I should quit. But see, the one thing I know about the seed is the only person who can protect seed that is put into the ground is the farmer. The one who sowed it. The only one who can protect our lives is the farmer, is God. Do you know what God does when we draw near to Him? Is He not only waters our lives, He not only pours out His living water into our lives, but that living water doesn't just make it all right and bearable to get through, it washes anew. It washes anew. I've found, and I can't explain how, I've been going through a time where I'm literally, my walk has become a crawl. And as I pressed into God, and He's poured out that water for, I can't explain it, but it's like the wanting to quit, or the toughness of that, or it's just kind of paled a bit in comparison. It's like the living water's just given me a new strength to go, no, I'm not going to quit. See, there's things that can come into our lives. There's weeds, mindsets that we can find ourselves trusting in for so long. See, the weeds can grow up at the same amount of time as the seed grows often. Entwines itself around in our lives. That can be like mindset thoughts that we just seem to have lived with for so long. We can find ourselves sometimes poisoned by certain events. Things go on and it just literally just seems to just poison our relationship with God. I know what it is to find times where I just feel trampled down by the things of the world. Trampled down. But my Bible tells me that the living water is able to consume and replenish and fill me up and overflow in my life in every way. See, in John chapter 4, and I'm going to close with this. In John chapter 4, Jesus goes to talk to a woman at a well. Now, you're probably familiar with the story, and He goes to talk to her. He asks her for some water. But just a few verses later, He then offers her living water. See, there's an exchange that took place that day. He said, would you give me that which you've looked to satisfy your thirst up to this point? And let me give you that which will satisfy your every thirst forever. See, it says on that day that Jesus was on His way from Judea to Galilee, and it said that He had to go through, if you read John chapter 4, that He had to go through Samaria. Can I tell you, that is not true. Jesus did not have to go through Samaria geographically. It wasn't the only way He could get from Judea to Galilee. In fact, you got to appreciate, He's a Jewish guy. For a Jewish guy, it's probably the least traveled route to go through Samaria because of the tensions between the Jews and the Samaritans. You study that verse further and you'll find that theologians would say the necessity for Him to go through Samaria lay in His mission, not in geography. See, Jesus said, I see one of my seeds. I see a seed. And I see she needs some encouragement. I see she needs some living water. And He purposes out of His way to go and speak to her and say, I've got you living water. Would you give me what you've been looking to up to this point? And I'll give you the living water. See, tonight, we sit in the presence. We're in the presence of God. My Bible tells me where two or more are gathered, there He is in our midst. I used to think when people said, oh, the presence of God is here, I'm like, where? Where? Where is it? I've missed it. I used to say, when they would say, oh, I feel the presence of God, I'm like, can't feel anything. See, it doesn't matter if we feel it or not. The truth of the matter is, the Bible says, where two or more are gathered, there He is. So I learned a long time ago, whether I feel like it or not, if truth is truth, then I've got to line myself up to truth, not get truth to line itself up to how I feel. And where the presence of God here, where the presence of God is, the living water is. It says in Psalm 42, verse 1, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. See, Jesus took on this conversation with this woman at the well, He took the one point of similarity that they had, the water. Started talking to her about that one point of similarity and took her to a point of salvation. See, in this room tonight, we've got people from all different backgrounds. We've got people from Mexico. We've got people from New Zealand. We've got people from Australia. We've got older people, younger people, medium people. Got tall people, short people, in between people. Got so many different things, people here and so many different backgrounds here, but the point of similarity we have is that we're all here. And we're all hearing the same word of God. We're all hearing about the seed. And what I believe God wants to do tonight is take our point of similarity to take us to a point of salvation. Take our point of similarity to take us to a point of connecting deeper with Him. See, I wonder who needs that water. I wonder who's walking through things at the moment where you say, do you know what? I feel a little trampled on by the world. I feel like the weeds have been coming up. Those thoughts have just been recurring. I need some living water. I wonder who's ready to come at a point of exchange. Say, God, I'll give you that which I've turned to try and get me through so that you can give me the thing that will actually get me through. See, I've turned to different things in my life to try and get me through life. Before I was saved, I turned to a whole bunch of stuff that I'm not proud of. After I got saved, I've still turned to stuff. Sometimes it's been my own strength that I thought could get me through. Sometimes it's been my own knowledge, my own education. Sometimes it's been, well, if I worked really hard, then it could happen. But I've just had to come to that place every time, coming back to Him saying, God, it's you. It's your living water that I need. And as every eye is closed across this room, in the last few minutes that we're here tonight, I wonder who's here who says, I need that living water. I need that fresh touch. Perhaps you're feeling wearied and worn down. Or maybe there's a specific situation going on where you're just feeling poisoned right now. And you say, I just need that living water. See, there's seeds sitting all over this place. Seeds that have potential, incredible futures, amazing possibilities. But the only way those seeds and what is inside of them will become the trees, the men and women of God that God has desired them to be and created them to be, is by putting themselves in that environment of growth, but also allowing the water from heaven to water their lives. So if as you sit here, you say, Natalie, I want that living water. If that's your thirst, that's your heart's cry, if there's perhaps some things you do need to give over to God to receive that living water, then I just want you to stand to your feet, acknowledging, saying, God, that's me. God, I want to say I need tonight your living water. I need tonight that which you have for me. If that's you, come on, you just stand. You know if it's you. You don't need to be prompted that it's you. You're going to know if your heart's cry is, God, I need that fresh touch. God, I need that fresh outpouring. God, I need your living water. Father, I've turned to this. I have tried to get through on my own strength. I have tried to do this or that or whatever it may be. God, I feel a bit trampled down. God, I feel like the weeds have come up and they've entwined and they're choking. I feel, Lord, like I'm being poisoned to an extent. But God, I will not quit. Wash me afresh. Wash me anew with your living water. If you're standing, why don't you lift your hands to heaven right now? Jesus, 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 Jesus. What we do in our church, and we're going to do tonight, is we become a family at this time. See, I want to encourage you, if you're sitting next to somebody who is standing, to just lean your hand towards them. Put your hand out to them. See, we're going to believe in faith for the outpouring of the fresh water tonight. That which they need, that which is their every heart's desire. God, we just pray over these precious lives, Lord. We pray over these precious lives, God, as they begin to open their hearts to you, as they begin to pour out to you, God, what that which they're walking through, that which they're feeling, that which truly in their hearts they're enduring. God, as they begin to, I mean, you know, Lord, but God, as they begin to pour it out, I pray right now in the presence of God that your living water be poured out, your refreshing water be poured out. Father, the water that will cause them to say in absolute faith and declaration, I'm not going to quit, I'm not going to give up. Father, I thank you that your power and your presence is here tonight to touch and to change and to bring breakthrough in these precious lives. God, pour out, pour out, pour out, pour out, pour out. Jesus, we pray this right now in your powerful name. Jesus, pour out. Just waves, Lord God, waves of your touch, waves of your refreshing love, waves of your refreshing oil, Lord God, waves that would just literally fill them to the point where they say, God, If I've got my hands held onto you, I can do it. Father, I declare over this atmosphere, I prophesy over the situations that are being walked through and the circumstances that are being endured. God, I prophesy over those lives, oh Jesus, breakthrough in Jesus' name. Lord, I specifically speak to the lies that have been spoken into these minds. Father, that have told them they're not good enough. They can't do it. Father, I speak a death blow to those lies. You shall not succeed over these men and women of God. You shall not succeed. Father, we speak freedom in the name of Jesus over minds today. We speak freedom in the name of Jesus over hearts today. We speak freedom in the name of Jesus. Father, where there's hearts that are battered and bruised, bring a refreshing, Lord God. Bring a replenishing, Lord God. Father, pour out, pour out, pour out, pour out. I just see in my spirit literally times of where you have just been crying in your room to God, saying, God, I don't know if I can go on. God, it's just too tough. Do you know what? You do not have to go on your own. You don't have to. My God, who is bigger than anything, is holding out his hand saying, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. I'll show you the way. I'll shine my light and show you the way. Jesus, just pour out. Just pour out. Just pour out. You know, whether you're standing or sitting, I want to encourage you, just press into God right now. Just pour out.